Hello, I'm Scott Cullen, and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. This episode is brought to you by Green Room. Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download. Once you're in, you can talk with fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. So we've just finished the free agent frenzy for the 2021 National Hockey League season, and boy, was it a day. I mean, I worked at TSN for a lot of years. I worked a lot of free agent frenzies. And I don't ever recall a day quite like this with as many signings and just general wild transactions that, you know, it was unrelenting for the day. And so what I thought I would do, I mean, there's going to be lots of time to break down all the signings and in depth and see what it means to teams and players. But I thought what I would do is I would go through the signings from free agent day, go through every one of them and give my quick take on each one. And yeah, I mean, it was a busy day, so we got a lot of room to cover. You know what? Let's even start with the signings that were officially on July 27th, thanks to our friends at Cap Friendly. And so I am gonna scroll through, and we're just gonna pound through this as quickly as possible. And so on July 27th, Minnesota Wild signed Kyle Rau, who's a two-way contract, a guy who's kind of been on the AHL-NHL bubble, plays a little bit every once in a while with Wild, but not a really significant deal. Pavel Buchnevich signs a four-year, $23.2 million with St. Louis Blues. Not a huge surprise after the trade for the Rangers with Sammy Blais going the other way. Maybe a touch higher than I would have thought for Buchnevich, but he's coming off the best season of his career, so you knew a big raise was coming. Montreal Canadiens signed Joel Armia to a four-year, $13.6 million deal. Reasonable value for Armia. It is a little curious if you look at Montreal's forward lines, you know, that where Armia fits in. And I guess if you looked at how Montreal played in their playoffs, you know, their fourth line may end up being more highly paid than others because I guess they sort of went with a real balanced approach. And I guess Armia is part of that. Kyle Criscuolo, Detroit signs him to a two-year deal. I imagine he's mostly AHL. Taro Hirose also signs with Detroit, a one-year two-way deal. Hirose might have a chance to see some time with Detroit, but I think both of those are mostly AHL deals. Mike Riley, who Boston acquired from Ottawa at the trade deadline, Riley signs on for a three-year, $9 million deal with the Bruins. That's pretty nice value. In the past couple of seasons, Riley has really turned his career around. He, you know, was kind of hyped coming out of the University of Minnesota, and the results really weren't there early. But as I say, the past couple of years between Montreal and Ottawa and then finishing last season in Boston, Riley has established himself as a quality puck-moving defenseman you can play in your top four. Tampa Bay Lightning signed center Otto Sompi to a two-way deal, $750,000 in the NHL. I think organizational depth more than anything there. Buffalo Sabres signed Drake Caggiula to a one-year, $750,000 deal. They picked up Caggiula late last season, and I'd say they must have been impressed, but you know, maybe not too impressed, giving him a one-year deal for $750,000. But it's an opportunity for Caggiula to play in the league and kind of establish that he is you know, still good for a few more seasons if he has a good season next year. Dakota Mermis, defenseman, signs with a two-year two-way deal with Minnesota. Mermis is a guy who tends to be on the AHL-NHL bubble, usually more time in the AHL. Connor Garland signs a big deal with the Vancouver Canucks, 5 years, $24.75 million. And that's a good deal for Vancouver. They're getting a guy who kind of had his breakout season last year, but really looks like a high quality offensive winger to add into their forward mix, and he's probably going to be a really key player for them moving forward. The Winnipeg Jets signed goaltender Eric Comrie to a one-year, one-way $750,000 deal. Pretty good opportunity for Comrie to possibly back up Connor Hellebuck next season. The Colorado Avalanche keep captain Gabriel Landeskog, sign him to an 8-year, $56 million deal. And oh, there was a lot of gnashing of teeth and great concern about Landeskog. And ultimately, the Avalanche decided that they weren't going to lose their captain. And I mean, it's a massive commitment, an 8-year deal for a guy who's going to be 29 next season. That's, you know, you're going to run into some risk at the end of this deal. That's almost assured. Not only because, you know, most guys, when they hit their the north side of 35 is pretty tough, but players who play a physical game tend to age more poorly. And Landeskog, certainly that's part of his calling card, is that he does play a physical game. So, but you know, when you're the Avalanche and you're Cup contenders now, no sense taking a step back in the short term. You may as well invest in these next few years, and then you can worry about the problems after that. Brandon Montour re-signs in Florida. They picked him up at the deadline last year, and Montour gets a 3-year, $10.5 million deal. In some ways, this is sort of not exactly a vote of confidence. I mean, it's better than just letting him go, but it's also a 3-year deal for Montour is sort of a half commitment, I'd say, as opposed to deciding, yes, they really want to be in the Brandon Montour business. Alex Ovechkin re-signs with the Washington Capitals. No big surprise there. 5 years, $47.5 million. And, you know, logically, handing a 35-year-old winger a 5-year contract would seem insane. But few things. One, Ovechkin hardly ever gets hurt, although that wasn't the case this past season, and that becomes an issue as you get older. Even for a Russian machine who never breaks, eventually those injuries will catch up to Ovechkin. But 5 years and $47.5 million sounds like an absurd amount of money for a guy who, you know, through years 36 through 40. But I mean, this is the face of the franchise, the guy who brought them their first Stanley Cup, the guy who is going to have a chance to break Wayne Gretzky's goal scoring record. And all of that, you know, you can argue the merits of keeping Ovechkin from age 36 to 40. But the last thing you would want as the Capitals is to see Ovechkin break that goal scoring record in another uniform. So, when we come back, we will get into the signings that happened on July 28th, the Free Agent Frenzy Day. This episode is brought to you by Green Room. Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. Green Room is the perfect place to start or join conversations about the National Hockey League. You'll find fans just like you on Green Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, reacting to big news or rumors. You can even find Locked On hosts across the NBA, Major League Baseball, and the National Hockey League. Go download the free Green Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, join the National Hockey League group for the latest league updates. I know you'll find a ton of incredible rooms around your favorite teams and leagues. Download the Green Room app today. Green Room, changing the way we talk sports. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, and they have a bunch of delicious flavors. And that includes coconut and cherry barcia and raspberry and mint brownie and double choc and salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, German chocolate. My favorite is salted caramel. I like the sweet and the salty. But if you haven't tried all those flavors, you can get a mixed box from Built Bar where you get two of each of those, sample them, decide which ones you like best, and then order more of those. And so there's such a great variety of flavors there that there should be something for everyone. And they're covered in 100% chocolate, so it tastes great. Tastes like a really good snack. And not only that, they're healthy too. They're loaded with protein and low in calories, low in sugar, low in carbs. So you're getting this great tasting bar that is good for you. And Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team, which seems kind of relevant these days. So go to Built.com, use promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, we got a lot of signings to go, and let's start with Alec Martinez. Staying in Vegas, 3 years, $15.75 million, which is a little pricey, but Martinez was pretty effective for them last year. He's become a real shot-blocking ace, and much like if Colorado is going to contend for Cups, they're going to keep Gabriel Landeskog. If Vegas is going to contend for cups, they don't want to let a top four defenseman walk. And so Alec Martinez will stay there. Zach Hyman signs a 7-year, $38.5 million deal in Edmonton. And this is a risky signing, given that Hyman is 29 and plays a physical game. And but in the benefit here for Hyman is, I mean, he was already, you know, reaping the rewards of playing frequently with Austin Matthews in Toronto. Well, now he's looking at the possibility of playing with Connor McDavid in Edmonton. And so even if Hyman, you know, isn't necessarily productive on his own as a complementary piece, he can be, you know, he can put up some pretty good numbers playing alongside Connor McDavid because, well, Connor McDavid's great. And now part of the deal with Hyman, why he was so valued in Toronto was that he was on a really inexpensive deal. And so this now a big long-term deal may add some pressure to it. But as I say, the chance to play with McDavid is probably going to keep Hyman productive, at least in the short term. And if the later years of this contract are a problem, that will, you know, probably not be an issue for Ken Holland, who signed this deal. Brandon Sutter is staying in Vancouver, $1.125 million 1-year deal. Sutter has not been great for the Canucks, but really the problem was that he was on a big contract. And so if he's going to play in a fourth line role at that price, that's totally fine. Tyson Barrie staying in Edmonton, 3 years, $13.5 million. Barrie is a defensive liability, but he can run a power play. And really that's all Edmonton was after here. And it's interesting seeing kind of what has happened to the value of Tyson Barrie over the past few seasons, because having to sign a 1-year make good deal in Edmonton for last season and then a 3-year $13.5 million deal. That, I don't think that was quite exactly how it was planned to go a few years ago when Barrie, you know, could see free agency on the horizon, and it hasn't resulted in quite the massive payday. But he's doing all right, and he'll get to put up some numbers on that Edmonton power play. Antti Raanta, the goaltender, has signed in Carolina, 2-year, $4 million deal. Now Raanta is really good. Problem is he can't stay healthy, and so I understand Carolina being interested and hope that, you know, for Ranta's sake, that he could stay healthy and be the number one guy in Carolina. But I think the safer bet is that he's probably going to end up being the backup because he just hasn't been able to stay healthy for a long enough period of time. Jordan Martinook, hard-nosed checking winger, is staying in Carolina, 3 years, $5.4 million deal. Touch pricey, I guess, for what Martinook does, but he's one of those great in the room team leader types, and you can understand Carolina wanting to keep him around. So while it might be a little bit more than you might want to pay for Martinook, it's not egregious. Pittsburgh keeping Evan Rodriguez, 1-year, $1 million deal, pretty versatile depth forward, not a bad price there. Alexander Wenberg signs a 3-year, $13.5 million deal in Seattle. Now this is an interesting one because Seattle, you know, one of their kind of advantages coming out of the expansion draft is while they have lots of cap space, well, what good is it if you are spending all that cap space on the likes of Alexander Wenberg? Well, I guess we'll find out. But as it is, I think Wenberg is a reasonable middle six center who is typically a real playmaker who likes to pass first. And last season, he went on kind of a shooting percentage bender in Florida. And so it had a strange situation where he ended up scoring more goals than he set up, where the typical seasons for Wenberg previously, he had many more assists than goals. But as a complimentary piece, I don't mind this signing. It doesn't really scream, well, this team has really taken advantage of their cap space. Another goaltender for Carolina, Frederick Anderson, 2 years, $9 million deal for Freddie Anderson. Now, Anderson has had some trouble in his own right staying healthy, and his performance in the past couple of seasons in Toronto has not been great. But you can see Carolina working here, that with the tandem of Anderson and Raanta, they're hoping that they come up with solid enough goaltending. And this is going to be, I suppose, a point of contention this year, right? After they traded Alex Nedeljkovic to Detroit, and they didn't re-sign any of their other goaltenders. So the decision to go with Raanta and Anderson is, you know, th that's there's going to be some pressure on there. And if they get hurt or they don't perform well, then the critics will come banging. But don't worry, there's lots more to criticize Carolina about later. Dallas signs Luke Glendening, 2-year, $3 million deal, which is probably more than you should be paying Luke Glendening. But Jim Neal was from Detroit, and so I'm sure there's some connection there to Luke Glendening, who, you know, at his very best, I guess, was a gritty fourth line center, but he's not terribly effective in that role. Tampa Bay, bit of a surprise, I guess. They get Brian Elliott on a 1-year, $900,000 deal to be their backup goaltender. And this is Curtis McIlhenny did not play very well for Tampa Bay last season, but I think this is basically cut from the same cloth, is that Tampa Bay is not going to spend big money on a backup goaltender. Why would they? They've invested in Andrei Vasilevskiy to be their number one guy, and he's the one who's gone kind of start to finish to lead them to Stanley Cups. And you just need a passable veteran who can start some games now and then. And so Brian Elliott, even though he hasn't played particularly well in recent seasons, and he's 36 years old, that's fine. The Tampa Bay season, if Andrei Vasilevskiy suffers a season-ending injury, Brian Elliott isn't going to be expected to save them. The season is just going to be gone, I think, at that point. Unless they make another goaltending acquisition. But basically, they need a warm body to be their backup goaltender, and Brian Elliott, you're it. Nashville keeps Michael Granlund. It looked like Granlund was going to test the free agent waters, but ultimately signs a 4-year, $20 million deal with the Preds. And, I mean, Granlund has played a pretty significant role in Nashville in the past couple of seasons, and you know, for better or worse. A couple of years ago, he really struggled, and so it was a bit of a surprise that he returned last season. And then, you know, he didn't play bad last season, but I don't know that if you're the Predators and looking forward, that you necessarily had to think that you needed 4 more years of Michael Granlund. I guess we will see, but I think at the very least you're getting a competent middle six forward. Derek Forbert, the big defenseman, signs in Boston a 3-year, $9 million deal. And now, given that Boston signed Mike Riley to a 3-year, $9 million deal, that's somewhat depressing because Riley has at least proven to be more effective in a more prominent role. But Forbert is big, and Boston looking for maybe a steadier defensive presence. Last year, they had a lot of young guys rolling through on their blue line, and you know, maybe that was a bit of a problem. Now, is Forbert going to be their big answer? Probably not, but he does offer at least some depth on that blue line. Minnesota gets Alex Goligoski on a 1-year, $5 million deal. Goligoski's 35 years old, but he played really well for Arizona last season. And so I think that's pretty nice value for Minnesota, and you don't have to commit too much in terms of how long the contract is. Patrick Laine signs a 1-year, $7.5 million deal with Columbus. Just takes his qualifying offer, and really, Laine just needs to kind of get his career back on track. Last year was such a disaster, and so take the $7.5 million. Hope that you can start scoring again next season, or the next contract is not going to be too kind. Montreal signs defenseman David Savard, 4 years, $14 million. And, I mean, you knew that Savard, being part of Tampa Bay's cup run, wasn't going to hurt him heading into free agency. And so he gets 4 years and $14 million, which I suppose in a vacuum is fine. When you look at Savard joining Montreal's defense, it becomes fairly glaring that Montreal is going to be a little shy on puck-moving mobile defensemen, because, you know, between Savard and Ben Chiarot and Joel Edmondson, the guys who are expected to be in their top four, three of them, I guess, don't particularly move the puck all that well. Jeff Petrie would be the one exception there. Zach Bogosian is going back to Tampa Bay, 3 years, $2.55 million deal, so $850,000 a season. Bogosian had a nice year last year for Toronto, but is serviceable depth defenseman, and he didn't want to play in Canada, I think due to COVID restrictions and such. And so the opportunity to go to Tampa Bay, one, a team that's going to be a contender, and to a team that won't have COVID restrictions getting in the way. Gives Bogosian, I mean, that's a really nice value deal for Tampa Bay, too, at that price. Andrew Cogliano signs in San Jose, 1 year, $1 million deal. Veteran winger who's, you know, certainly not the ace-checking winger that he was at his best, but can probably fill a spot on the Sharks' fourth line and kill some penalties for them and still be a useful NHLer. Louis Belpedio, the Montreal Canadiens pick up the defenseman from Minnesota on a one-year, two-way contract. Now it pays him $750,000 in the National Hockey League. Belpedio, you know, is probably organizational depth, but he might, you know, be in the mix to get called up if there are injuries in Montreal. Boone Jenner signs a four-year extension in Columbus, 4 years, $15 million. And Jenner is just a loyal foot soldier for Columbus, and, you know, plays hard and kind of fits the mold of what they want in Columbus, and so that makes sense for him. Maxime Mamman, returning to the National Hockey League from the KHL, signed a one-year $975,000 deal in Florida. That's, you know, a worthwhile play for the Panthers. See if Mamman can come back to the National Hockey League and kind of reestablish that that he can play. And, you know, that's a low-risk move at $975,000. Dallas Stars signed Braden Holtby to a $2 million contract. And this is weird. I mean, it's, on one hand, Dallas has announced that Ben Bishop's still going to be on LTIR going into next season. And at this point, maybe you wonder whether he's ever going to come back, and maybe he won't. But even so, they still have Anton Khudobin and Jake Oettinger, and, you know, that would seem to be a competent NHL goaltending tandem, but now they have Braden Holtby in that mix, so that a little bit confusing with that deal. And I mean, Holtby at 1 year and $2 million is fine, given that you know, you need somebody to be a backup goaltender, but I'm not sure Dallas specifically needs somebody to be the backup goaltender. Laurent Brossoit signs in Vegas, a two-year, $4.65 million deal. Brossoit has been effective, albeit not playing very much in Winnipeg as Connor Hellebuck's backup. In the case of Vegas, after they traded away Marc-Andre Fleury, Brossoit comes in and gives a kind of inexpensive backup to Robin Leonard. But it's a decent payday for Brossoit, given how little he's played in Winnipeg for the past few years. Montreal signed Cedric Paquette to a one-year $950,000 deal. Nice to get a French-Canadian forward, but also a guy who adds a little grit to their fourth line. And Paquette has, he had, you know, I guess some relative success in Tampa Bay. I don't know that his play in Ottawa and Carolina last season didn't do a whole lot to raise his value. Eric Robinson signed an extension in Columbus, 2 years, $3.2 million. He's generally been an underrated player, kind of a late bloomer coming into the league, but has established himself as a pretty solid checking winger. And so that's kind of a nice reward for Robinson, but also good for Columbus to keep him around. Toronto gets Michael Bunting on a two-year, $1.9 million deal. Bunting was kind of, speaking of late bloomers, burst into the consciousness, I guess, last season with Arizona, scoring a bunch of goals as a 25-year-old. And at that stage, it kind of looked like Bunting was just going to be an American Hockey League player. But you know, a bunch of goals in a short period of time sort of raised his profile a bit. And I recall having interaction with Kyle Dubas, so back in his early days of in Sault Ste. Marie, when Bunting was at the NHL Combine, and Dubas was wanting to find out you know, how he was doing and that. And I mean, you know, we've seen enough to know that Kyle Dubas has a real fondness for the players who came through Sault Ste. Marie, and Bunting is one of those guys, and he's going to get an opportunity to play in Toronto. So the price tag is almost immaterial here for Toronto. It's very inexpensive, and if Bunting doesn't work out, they could bury him in the American Hockey League. But there's also a chance here that Bunting is going to get an opportunity to play at least in a middle six role, and who knows, maybe he gets a shot to play with Matthews and Marner on the top line. And I mean, he's a guy who will go to the net and grab rebounds and tip-ins, and that's fine at that price. If he can produce a little bit, that would be good value. Vancouver signs defenseman Brady Keeper to a 2-year, $1.525 million deal. I think he's probably a depth defenseman. Vancouver really has remodeled their blue line, as you'll find out as we continue through this. Keeper, has seen National Hockey League time with Florida, but has not done enough to expect that he's going to be a regular. Cody Ceci signs in Edmonton, a 4-year, $13 million deal. Wow, that is something. I think, what we've seen from Ceci in the past couple of seasons between Toronto and Pittsburgh is that if you play him in a third pair role, don't commit to him too much, that's probably okay. Well, a 4-year, $13 million deal that might drop him into the top four in Edmonton, well, that's maybe not ideal. That was kind of the problem with what was going on with Ceci in Ottawa, and I'm not sure I would want to invest in him for 4 years. Edmonton does make some curious decisions from time to time. Jean-Sebastien Dia, who had been with Buffalo, signs with a two-way deal with Montreal, 1 year, $750,000, mostly an AHL player at this point, but he has seen some NHL time in the past. And one more before we take a break, and that's Patrick Nemeth, veteran defenseman, is signed with New York Rangers, a 3-year deal for $7.5 million, an entirely reasonable contract for what Nemeth provides. He can be a third pair guy, kill penalties, and add some stability to the Ranger blue line. I like that signing for them. So when we come back, we will continue. There is a long list to keep going. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season's in full swing. You can track all the action at BetOnline. Get the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs. And that includes Major League Baseball, but the NBA, the NHL, NFL, and UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device. Check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDON at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, so we're continuing through the free agent signings, and we get to Keith Yandle. Signs a 1-year, $900,000 deal with Philadelphia after being bought out by the Florida Panthers. Yandle will have a chance to continue his consecutive game streak, but at this stage of his career, it's also a matter of finding a good fit. And as a third pair guy who can run some power play in Philadelphia, that does seem like a decent fit. And at that price, it's worth the risk for Philadelphia. I mean, Yandle's defensive play has not been great for quite a while, but he has particular strengths as a puck mover and power play quarterback, and he should be able to make that work. And if it doesn't work, the 1-year $900,000 contract isn't going to hurt you. Columbus signs Ohio native Sean Corrali to a 4-year $10 million deal. That's more than you should be paying for a fourth line center, and that's really what Corrali is. I mean, he does fit the mold for Columbus, but that's more than you should be paying. The Rangers signed defenseman Jared Tenorti to a 2-year, $1.8 million deal. And really, why don't you just say you want Jared Tenorti to fight Tom Wilson, because he's done it a few times in his career, and we know how upset the Rangers were about what went on with Tom Wilson late in the season, and Tenorti can be yet another of the guys being added to bring some muscle to the Rangers. They've added Barkley Goodrow and Sammy Blais and Jared Tenorti. They have had a clear objective in this offseason. Montreal signs defenseman Chris Weidman to a 1-year $750,000 deal coming back from the KHL. Weidman, there was a great piece in The Athletic talking about Weidman's kind of career going sideways after he was on that video with the Ottawa Senators in the Uber, and they were trashing coaching decisions and so on, and so many of the guys who were involved in that didn't really get punished, but Weidman was a guy who was kind of on the fringe of the NHL at that point. He hadn't really established himself, and he ended up being the one who got kind of the worst of it, and so He ended up traded away and then bounced around to a couple teams and then off to the KHL. But there's a chance that he comes back. Well, Montreal, as I talked about, is a little light on puck-moving defensemen, and Weidman does have that going for him. He's on the smaller side, but he plays a pretty aggressive game anyway. But he can also move the puck. And so, I mean, there's a chance here for Weidman to carve out a spot on that Montreal blue line because they don't have guys who have his skill set. Dallas signs Ryan Suter to a four-year, $14.6 million deal, which is in the aftermath of Suter getting bought out by the Minnesota Wild. It's a significant deal here to go offering a four-year deal to a 36-year-old defenseman. And Suter is still playing fine. I mean, he's not playing kind of top pair Norris Trophy votes type defenseman, but I think the expectation is you can probably get at least a couple more seasons of Ryan Suter as a top four defenseman. And then I don't know where you go. The last 2 years, you probably cross your fingers and hope that Suter can maintain it for that long. But in the next couple of years, that deal should be fine. The New Jersey Devils signed goaltender Jonathan Bernier, 2 years, $8.25 million. So that's a pretty big deal for a guy to be a backup. In fact, it's probably more a tandem where Bernier is going to join Mackenzie Blackwood in New Jersey and give them solid goaltending. I mean, I think Bernier is average-ish as a goaltender. So that's a bit of a steep price, I think, to pay for average-ish goaltending. But New Jersey had some clear objectives heading into free agency, and one of them was to get a veteran goaltender who can help out Mackenzie Blackwood. Philadelphia signs Nate Thompson to a one-year, $800,000 deal. And Thompson is as much a good guy in the room, veteran leader type as he is a hockey player at this point. He's 36 years old, not terribly effective, but if he plays limited ice time on your fourth line and kind of low event hockey, that's fine, I suppose. But I mean, there's not a huge investment and not a lot of value coming back. Toronto signs goaltender Peter Mrazek, 3 year, $11.4 million deal. Now, Mrazek was injured for a lot of last season, but he played really well when he was playing. And the Maple Leafs are hoping that Mrazek and Jack Campbell can form a tandem that gives them more reliable goaltending. And that has been a bit of their Achilles heel in the past few seasons, and partly because Frederik Andersen has either been injured or not playing very well. And so the hope is that a tandem of Mrazek and Campbell gives you some options, and maybe it does. I mean, Mrazek has had some ups and downs in his career, but I don't mind this signing from Toronto's perspective, giving yourself at least a good partner to play with Campbell. Minnesota signs Frederik Gaudreau to a two-year, $2.4 million deal. Pretty nice opportunity here for Gaudreau, who has mostly been an AHL player, played some for Nashville, and then he played a little bit in Pittsburgh last year and was quite effective. And so effective enough that that Minnesota is going to reward him. And Gaudreau might come in and be their fourth-line center. And given how he played for Pittsburgh last season, there should be no complaints about that at that price. Vegas signed Sven Berchi to a $750,000 deal. And Berchi's been buried by the Canucks for a few seasons. I think this is a worthwhile chance to take for Vegas. And if it doesn't work, so what? But Berchi's a 28-year-old who, when Vancouver decided that Berchi couldn't play in the National Hockey League anymore, there was nothing in his performance that suggested he was not National Hockey League caliber. I mean, maybe he wasn't a fit on your team or something, and maybe you didn't like the contract, but there was nothing there to suggest that Berchi was just, below replacement level in the National Hockey League. So worth a shot here for Vegas to find out. Another player who kind of fell out of favor is Charles Hudon, who had some success a few years ago with Montreal and then, just kind of fell out of, favor in Montreal and was in the KHL last year. He gets a one-year, $750,000 deal with Tampa Bay. And like Berchi, it's a two-way deal, so kind of low risk, but there's some upside there. And with Tampa Bay, they need some inexpensive forwards to give them some depth up front, and Hudon might be able to take advantage of it. I think that's a really good opportunity for Hudon and reasonable risk here for Tampa Bay. The LA Kings sign Andreas Athanasiou to a one-year, $2.7 million deal, a decent middle six winger who can score a little bit, doesn't necessarily bring out the best in line mates, because Athanasiou can create a lot on his own. I mean, he's a great skater, a great puck handler, and you know that he isn't necessarily the guy who you know works off the cycle and has great chemistry with his line mates. He's a guy who you know takes off like a bolt of lightning and creates chances off the rush, and you know there's value to that for the Kings. And so 1 year, $2.7 million is fine. Carolina signs defenseman Ian Cole to a 1 year, $2.9 million deal. Cole, a veteran, steady defenseman. I wonder, you know, where what the I guess defensive rotations are going to be for the Hurricanes. I mean, when they sign Cole, and if you figure that he's going to play on the left side, that could mean that Jake Gardner ends up still on the outside, looking in at the top six. And so, is that mean Jake Gardner is maybe on the block now for Carolina? As if he wasn't already. Carolina signs Josh Levo, the winger, to a 1 year, $750,000 deal. Levo has had some moments between Toronto and Calgary, but they're sort of few and far between. But as a guy who you know might be able to give you some decent depth and on occasion can score some goals, he's worth a look there at that price. Chicago signs Jujhar Khera, who had been a fourth liner mostly in Edmonton. He gets a 2 year deal for $1.95 million. Chicago has been sort of you know remodeling their roster, and Khera gives them some good size, but you know, minimal impact on the fourth line. Vancouver signs Nick Petan to a two-way deal, and that's a worthwhile look for them. Now the thing is that in Petan, he's got to be looking here at a Vancouver team that has you know pretty good talent up front, and I think his best opportunity is if somebody gets hurt, because you know there might be some teams out there where Petan you know would have a chance to compete for a spot. Like I don't know, pick Buffalo, pick Arizona. A guy like Petan might have a shot to compete for a spot right off the bat with those teams. But in Vancouver, it seems unlikely that he would be in their starting lineup. But if you get an injury to a skilled forward, Nick Petan has shown that he's a pretty solid playmaker. He seems like a quadruple A type player, a guy who's too good for the AHL, but really has trouble kind of sticking in the National Hockey League. Pittsburgh signs Brock MacGinn, 4 years, $11 million. MacGinn was a solid winger for Carolina, but this is a kind of a step up for him in terms of what expectations are going to be. He's a reliable two-way winger who there were times in Carolina where he got to play up with Sebastian Aho and went on a few goal-scoring runs in those cases. So this is a nice reward for him and a good opportunity in Pittsburgh. Chase DeLeo, who's mostly an AHL player, signs a 1 year, $750,000 deal with the Devils, but he does see some NHL action from time to time. Jake McCabe, the veteran defenseman, goes to Chicago on a 4 year, $16 million deal. McCabe is coming off a torn ACL, but his numbers the past couple of years in Buffalo have actually been pretty good. And so if we can presume that McCabe is healthy enough to play next season, that he should add a little bit of stability in Chicago, and it's not as though their defensive play has been so strong in recent years. They don't need more stability. Philip Deneau signs with the Los Angeles Kings, a 6 year, $33 million deal. It's a major investment from the Kings, but you can understand, you know, I guess why, because Deneau has earned his reputation here as a top shutdown center, and the Kings have a bunch of young prospects coming. And they've got Andrei Kopitar there. And, you know, if you want to shelter the young prospects and you want to free up Kopitar so that he doesn't have to do all the matchup work, well, Deneau is perfect for that role. And now it's a big commitment to be going $5.5 million for a guy who might struggle to score. But this fits with the game plan, I think, for the long term for the Kings. Anthony Richard signs a 1 year two-way deal with to stay in Nashville. Nick Bonino signs a 2 year, $4.1 million deal in San Jose. And Bonino just continues to roll along. He's a reliable third-line type center. And he's probably going to add some real value to San Jose because their bottom six was fairly awful. Even though Bonino's 33 years old, I would expect that he can give a couple years of solid work there in San Jose. Dominic Simone is returning to Pittsburgh, signed a one-year two-way contract. And Simone, in his previous stint with Pittsburgh, was a reasonably reliable checking forward who sometimes got bumped up. He would sometimes be on Sidney Crosby's wing, but he also, you know, couldn't finish to save his life. And so Simone will, maybe get to revisit that. I don't imagine the plan will be to have him playing high in the lineup, but he does give the Penguins a decent option for a checking line. San Jose signs goaltender James Reimer to a two-year, $4.5 million deal. And this is a reasonably smart play here for San Jose. I mean, one, they're not in a position to go paying, through the nose for a top goaltender, given how much they're paying their top three defensemen and some of the top forwards on their roster as well. But they had to change their goaltending. And so they bought out Martin Jones. That's another cost that kind of inhibits their investment, but you get Reimer at $2.25 million per season. You've got Aiden Hill, who they acquired from Arizona, and there's new goaltending tandem that almost assuredly can't be as bad as what San Jose has rolled out in the past couple of seasons. So, and it's an opportunity here for Reimer. He may be able to be the starter for this team, and we'll see where that takes them. But that's not a bad move for San Jose. And since we're talking about it, Martin Jones, who was bought out by San Jose, signs a one-year, $2 million deal with Philadelphia. And wow, if you're the Philadelphia Flyers and you've got Carter Hart coming off a disaster season, yes, you had to go get a veteran backup to, give him a little bit more insurance. I don't know that Martin Jones is the guy who adds real insurance in the crease there. So that's an interesting one for sure, but at least a chance for Martin Jones to get back on track. The New York Rangers bring back Greg McKegg, who's bounced around a little bit, but he's had previous stints with the Rangers. He's on a two-way deal, and he's another guy who plays really well in the American Hockey League. Every once in a while gets a good stretch in the NHL, and that's probably what he'll be doing with the Rangers next season. Eric Haula signs in Boston to a two-year, $4.75 million deal, and Haula is a pretty solid middle six forward. Can, play center, play wing, we'll give the Bruins some decent forward depth. Colorado grabs defenseman Roland McEwen to a two-way deal, mostly an AHL defenseman, and that's probably his expectation for next season. I don't think that Colorado would look at Roland McEwen and think that he's going to be part of their regular rotation on the blue line. Toronto signs Michael Amadio to a two-way deal. Amadio finished last season with the Ottawa Senators, and this is likely he's going to start with Toronto Marlies in the American Hockey League, but he's played enough with LA and Ottawa that you could plug Amadio into the Maple Leafs lineup in a fourth line center role and he'd be fine. Thomas Noshek signs in Boston, the two-year, $3.5 million deal, and Noshek had I guess the best season of his career last season for Vegas. Really, though, he should probably be a fourth liner, and so $1.75 million per season is a little rich for that, but Boston really wanted to change things up on the lower portion of their depth chart, and so Noshek gets a bit of an increase for that. Minnesota signs defenseman Joe Hickets to a two-year, two-way deal, and so Hickets had been part of the Detroit Red Wings system for quite a while and never really cracked the Red Wings lineup. I don't imagine that he's expected to crack the Minnesota lineup, but he gives them some organizational depth and might be on the list of guys who would get called up. Nashville signs goaltender David Rittich to a one-year, $1.25 million deal. Rittich, finished last season with Toronto, but didn't play a whole lot for the Maple Leafs. Had a few decent seasons in Calgary. Nothing that would really stand out, but to be the backup to UC Saros, an entirely reasonable option and a very reasonable price, given that the previous one sharing the crease with Saros was Pekka Rinne, and Rinne was, you know, making more than that. So a little bit of cost savings there for Nashville. Ottawa signs defenseman Michael Delzato to a two-year, $4 million deal. Delzato has just kind of been hanging around and hanging around. And last season played in Columbus and played all right and earned himself a two-year deal here with Ottawa. So a good opportunity for Delzato, I guess, to, again, you would say add stability to the Ottawa blue line, but like Ottawa's blue line, you know, needs quite a bit of help, but Delzato will be one piece of that. Nashville re-signs Michael McCarron to a two-year, two-way deal. McCarron's mostly an AHL player at this point. Alexander Edler, the veteran defenseman, moves to the LA Kings, signs a one-year, $3.5 million deal. Edler has slowed down, but he's, you know, a veteran with good size who, you know, still knows how to make a good first pass. And now at this stage of his career, he's not going to be the impact player that he was during his best years with the Canucks, but adds a little bit of steady hand on the Kings' blue line. Lane Peterson, the Sharks signed him to a two-year deal. They acquired him from Arizona, and Peterson gets a two-year two-way contract. But I mean, when you look at the sort of the lower half of the San Jose forward depth chart, there's going to be an opportunity for Peterson to you know, compete for a regular spot. Matt Luff signs in Nashville. Didn't get a qualifying offer from the LA Kings. Luff gets a two-way offer in Nashville, and he's going to be kind of in the mix to compete for a spot. But my guess, looking at their depth chart, is Luff might start in the American Hockey League and then have to, you know, work his way into the lineup. Vancouver signs Philip DiGiuseppe to a two-way contract, a one-year deal. And DiGiuseppe has been a decent checking forward when he plays in the National Hockey League, but he's also kind of been on the bubble when both in Carolina and with the Rangers. So that's probably going to be where he is with Vancouver as well. Then we get the Carolina Hurricanes signed Anthony DeAngelo, a one-year deal for $1 million, and wow, what a deal. The Hurricanes had earned a certain measure of popularity over the past few years as a, I guess, an inclusive and fun group of guys. And I'm not sure that Anthony DeAngelo necessarily fits that mold. And so, you know, whatever he can offer on the ice, I mean, he's a right shot defenseman who moves the puck all right and can quarterback the power play. All that is, that's fair. He's not great defensively. And I mean, the off ice is really the bigger issue. And we'll see whether this is worth it for Carolina, because you know, they're feeling some backlash for it immediately. But their answers to the questions have not exactly been inspiring either. I mean, the general take coming out of Carolina is that Rod Brind'Amour can handle it, and that's fine. But it also, it doesn't show that Carolina understands, you know, why people should be upset about Anthony DeAngelo getting yet another opportunity when, you know, this is not his first crack in the National Hockey League. And, you know, the way things ended with the New York Rangers, I mean, you have general manager Don Waddell for Carolina saying they couldn't find anyone to say bad things about Anthony DeAngelo. I have to say they must not have been talking to the right people, because if you read the stories about when he was kind of told to go away from the New York Rangers, like, could you not call Jeff Gorton and find out that, oh, what was going on that you told Anthony DeAngelo he had you know, no room for error, that if he screwed up any more times that was going to be it, and then he did, and you couldn't find any kind of negative to come out of that. I find that really hard to believe. But so it is. The Carolina Hurricanes are going to run Anthony DeAngelo. He's probably going to be like a third pair defenseman who can quarterback their power play. And we'll see whether or not they run into any off-ice issues because of it. I think that they probably, there's an element in their management that is underestimating, you know, what it is in terms of public perception, interpersonal relationships, what have you, that you just, they just see that, you know, getting D'Angelo on a 1 year, $1 million deal is value. And sure it is. You're paying a price to get that value. Tampa Bay Lightning, signed Pierre-Edouard Belmar, to a 2 year, $2 million deal. Belmar has been a pretty useful checking center for contenders between Colorado and Vegas in recent seasons, and so now he goes to Tampa Bay, and you're not gonna get huge numbers out of him, but as a fourth line center and a good guy, no problem with that deal at all. Minnesota signs John Lizotte to a minor league deal. He's mostly been a nondescript defenseman for Wilkes-Barre Scranton for the past couple of years, so not an impact player in the NHL, I don't think. Same goes for Toronto, signing Curtis Gabriel to a one-year, one-way deal. One-way for John for Curtis Gabriel? There it is. So it says here on Cap Friendly, Curtis Gabriel gets a one-way deal, and really, I mean, Gabriel is a great guy. I guess if the Maple Leafs ever get to a point where they decide they need somebody who will come up and fight for them, Gabriel can be that guy. He's a very willing combatant, the regular, he will not be part of the Maple Leafs lineup, I don't think. David Kampf, signed in Toronto, 2 year deal, $3 million. And boy, that's for a Maple Leafs team that is kind of battling the salary cap and trying to fill in a roster around, you know, four highly priced forwards, it does seem a bit of a reach to be giving Kampf $1.5 million per season to be your fourth line center. And really, his performance in Chicago indicates that that's what he is. He's a fourth line center. So can't say I necessarily get on board with that signing at that price. Trevor Lewis, the veteran winger, signs an $800,000 deal with Calgary Flames. Lewis obviously was a big part of success in Los Angeles, played in Winnipeg last season, but is a very limited impact offensively. Still not a bad checker. And so at that price to play on your fourth line, that's fine. Vinny Hinostroza signs a 1 year, $1.05 million deal with the Buffalo Sabres. And Hinostroza has had his best success with Chicago and, you know, didn't really do much outside of Chicago. But here's an opportunity on a Buffalo team that doesn't have a whole lot of talent up front. If Hinostroza can get some consistent playing time, you know, he could, you know, really elevate his value. But as it is, you can probably look at him as being a legit top nine forward who's got some good speed. And so hope that he gets the right opportunity here to make it work in Buffalo. Goaltender Philip Lindbergh signs with the Pittsburgh Penguins. And this is, you know, a bit of an interesting case given that Penguins goaltending was a real problem for them in the playoffs with Tristan Jarry really struggling. And so I don't know that, you know, Lindbergh coming out of college hockey that you necessarily expect him to come in and you know, take a starting job or even an NHL job right away. Given how things ended for the Penguins in goal last season, maybe if you're Philip Lindbergh and you're coming into the National Hockey League, you sense an opportunity there. And so, you know, Lindbergh is Finnish, played a couple of seasons at UMass, and, you know, last season played 15 games, had a .949 save percentage. I mean, that's reason to be encouraged that he could be a quality pro goaltender. We will see. I don't think we've seen enough of Philip Lindbergh to know that whether he's going to challenge for that job right away. It does add a layer of intrigue, I guess, into the Pittsburgh goaltending situation. The Vancouver Canucks sign center Sheldon Dries to a two-way deal. He'd been playing with Colorado Avalanche, now mostly in the American Hockey League, but he would get called up on occasion. Defenseman Devontae Stevens signs a two-way deal with Vancouver. Travis Hamonic signs a two-year deal for $6 million. Hamonic has struggled his past couple of seasons, and you know there's probably some decline going on here, as you might expect for a physical defenseman who's now 30 years old. We'll see. The Canucks have decided they're okay with that. Luke Shen signs a two-year, $1.7 million deal in Vancouver. Now, Shen had really kind of found a nice niche in Tampa Bay as a seventh or eighth defenseman who could get plugged in as on the right side, ideally, if you needed a little bit of depth, you know, if there's an injury or what have you. And that probably is what Shen should be in Vancouver as well. Like, I don't think this deal, you know, signifies that he's going to be a regular on that blue line, but a useful veteran presence is fine at that price. And Vancouver signed Yaroslav Halak, the veteran goaltender, to a one-year, $3 million deal. Halak has been basically an overqualified backup in Boston for the past couple of seasons, and he will be a nice veteran, I guess, counterpart to Thatcher Demko, who's really the goaltender of the present for the Canucks. But it's nice to have a veteran like Halak, who has played quite a bit in the league and has established a certain level of play. And so I think at that price, it's not outrageous by any stretch, but there's a commitment there from Vancouver to kind of bolster their goaltending. So we'll get to a few more here before I think we'll have to break it up into pieces here, because there are just so many signings. But anyway, we will continue on. After Yaroslav Halak, we've got Ryan Zingel signs in Arizona, a one-year, $1.1 million deal. This is a good opportunity, really, for Zingel. He finished last season in Ottawa, but a chance to play for an Arizona team that does not have a whole lot of talent up front, and so he may actually, you know, find his way into significant ice time, a chance to score some goals, and you know, maybe establish a market for himself elsewhere in the league. Tampa Bay Lightning signed Braden Point to an eight-year, $76 million contract extension. I mean, Point has been a vital part of their Stanley Cup wins, and is 26 years old, so why not hitch your wagon to that guy long term? And from Point's perspective, he's willing to take, you know, a little bit less. Like, if you put Braden Point out there on the open market, he would be able to get more than that. But does he need more than that? He probably doesn't. You know, that's a lot of money that his kids' kids are probably not even going to spend. So this is part of how Tampa Bay remains competitive, is that you have these guys at the top end who are willing to take, you know, whether it's $1 million less or $2 million less, and allows you to kind of add a little bit more quality around your roster. So Matthias Janmark, staying in Vegas, 1 year, $2 million deal, a solid top nine winger who, you know, struggles to score sometimes, but useful nonetheless. Carter Hutton, the goaltender, signs a 1 year, $750,000 deal to go to Arizona, and I think the initial plan would be for Carter Hutton to be the backup, but now all of a sudden they have since traded Darcy Kemper, which then makes it, I guess, Carter Hutton's crease to lose, unless there are other moves coming in goal for Arizona. So that does seem to be Arizona does not look like they're trying to win next year, so we'll put it that way. And so, you know, Carter Hutton can play and play a lot, and that might not hurt Arizona for what their actual objectives are. Forward Liam O'Brien signed a two-way deal with Arizona as well. Ryan Getzlaff signs a one-year, $4.5 million deal to stay in Anaheim. You know, Getzlaff has only played for the Ducks, and if he's going to play in the league, it kind of comes as no surprise that it would be with Anaheim. He has slowed down, and speed, while it was never a huge part of his game, he has clearly lost a step at the stage of his career. Still a good distributor of the puck, still a big physical presence, but he's no longer the force that he was at his best when, you know, when he was an elite center in the league. Minnesota signs Dominic Turgeon to a two-way deal. Turgeon had been with the Detroit Red Wings. Alex Biega, who had been with Detroit, signs a two-way deal with Toronto Maple Leafs. Biega is a right-shot defenseman who gives them some organizational depth, can be their seventh or eighth defenseman. And if he's playing with the Marlies and gets called up in a pinch, so be it. Carl Dahlstrom signs a two-way deal with Toronto, another veteran who has sort of been up and down between the American Hockey League and NHL in his career. Mike Hoffman signs a three-year, $13.5 million deal in Montreal. Hoffman's overall game is leaving something to be desired at this stage of his career, but what he is a shooter. And for Montreal, if you're looking to bolster your power play, particularly when you're looking at a future without Shea Weber to, you know, tee up his blasts, well, Mike Hoffman is likely going to be the one in the shooter spot on Montreal's power play next season. Goaltender Garrett Sparks signs a two-way deal with Los Angeles Kings. Organizational depth there. CJ Smith, who's been in the Buffalo organization, signs a two-way deal in Carolina. Again, like some of these guys are likely AHL bound with a chance to maybe see some NHL time. Michael Isomont signs a two-way deal, but a two-year two-way deal with the Winnipeg Jets. Luke Johnson signs a two-way deal with the Jets. Linus Ullmark signs a four-year, $20 million deal with the Boston Bruins. Now, this is a little bit interesting, I suppose, because the Bruins... Tuukka Rask had sort of made it clear that the only team he really wanted to play for if he was going to sign as a free agent was Boston. But he's going to have surgery and is not going to be ready for the start of next season. And so there, I guess there was some talk or rumor of Boston, you know, maybe going with a combination of Jeremy Swayman and Daniel Vladar for, you know, whether that gets you through the first half of the season by the time Rask is ready to come back. And then, you know, Rask could be, you know, paired with one of those younger goaltenders. Well, now with this kind of commitment to Ullmark, what does that mean for Tuukka Rask's future? Does that just mean he's kind of out of the mix? And I mean, given that Boston's putting 4 years and $20 million into Linus Ullmark, I think that's an indication they're moving on from Tuukka Rask. Seattle Kraken signed Jaden Schwartz to a five-year, $27.5 million deal. Now, this does seem like decent use of the Kraken's cap space. Schwartz is a solid two-way winger, can put up some decent numbers offensively. And, you know, given when you look at the roster that they have in Seattle, he's going to be able to play a really significant role for them. And so I don't know that, you know, 5 years from now, maybe by the end of the deal, that whether Jaden Schwartz is not going to be, you know, worth that price. But I would say in the next 3-4 years of it, you're probably going to be reasonably happy with what he can provide. Brad Hunt, veteran defenseman, signs in Vancouver. Another guy who's going to be kind of on the bubble with Vancouver, but Hunt is also on a one-way deal for $800,000. But he's typically been a seventh defenseman for most of his career. Pius Suter, who had a pretty decent rookie season for Chicago last year, and they ended up not qualifying him, and so he signs a two-year deal with Detroit, 2 years, $6.5 million, and a good opportunity here for Suter to, you know, play in a middle six role for the Red Wings. And, you know, if he can build on what he did as a rookie in Chicago, he'll help Detroit moving forward. Now, it doesn't mean Pius Suter is a star, but he can certainly be a competent middle six center for Detroit. Nashville signs defenseman Matt Tennyson, 2 year, two-way deal, and that's really been the kind of the standard for Tennyson. Is he's a guy who will get called up and plugged in when a team needs some right-handed depth on their blue line, but up and down quite a bit in his career. Goaltender Troy Groznik signs in Boston, a two-way deal, and so he's most likely ticketed for the American Hockey League. Mark Pesek comes back to Buffalo, where he started his National Hockey League career. And as an inexpensive right-shot defenseman, that's not a bad play for Buffalo. Anaheim signs Brogan Rafferty to a one-year deal for $750,000. Rafferty had been with the Vancouver Canucks, not really didn't get a huge opportunity with Vancouver. Maybe he'll hope for something better with Anaheim. Edmonton signs Derek Ryan, the veteran center, two-year, $2.5 million deal. And Ryan has been kind of quietly effective in a depth role. And so this is a nice move here for Edmonton that, you know, for the most part, Ryan can probably be your fourth line center, but might even be able to be their third line center, you know, given how ineffective Kyle Turris has been. And so I think that's a pretty savvy addition there. Gerald Mayhew, good minor league scorer, signs a two-way deal in Philadelphia. He had been with Minnesota before. Ryan Fitzgerald signs a two-way deal in Philadelphia. Defenseman Nick Seeler signs in Philadelphia. He had been seen his most NHL action with Minnesota, which, you know, makes sense with Chuck Fletcher in Philadelphia now. There's some connection there. Kyle Burrows, the right shot defenseman, signs in Vancouver. You've noticed here there's a lot of adding on the Vancouver blue line in terms of at least quantity, if not necessarily quality. Tampa Bay signs Remy Ely to a two-way deal. He's seen some time in the National Hockey League with Buffalo and Dallas. Adam Werner, the goaltender, signs in Calgary. He had been part of the Colorado organization, but it's a two-way deal. Werner is likely ticketed for the American Hockey League. Calgary also signs defenseman Nick DeSimone to a two-way deal. Pittsburgh signs defenseman Taylor Fadun to a two-way deal. And Fadun has been a pretty useful player in Dallas as a depth defenseman who he gets plugged into the lineup now and then and doesn't look out of place. He's now 33 years old, so he's not, you know, looking at a breakthrough season or anything, but does give the Penguins a little bit of organizational depth there. Boston signs Nick Foligno to a two-year, $7.6 million deal. And, you know, Foligno he's a reliable veteran winger. And now he didn't exactly give the Toronto Maple Leafs what they were looking for when they acquired him at the trade deadline. But by all indications, Foligno is a real quality guy who can play in your top nine. And now, you know, if he ends up being a third line winger at $3.8 million, it might be a tad pricey. But if you're a Bruins team that's looking to really kind of go all in the next couple of seasons, it makes sense to take a shot with somebody like Foligno. Speaking of going all in, Calgary Flames signed Blake Coleman to a six-year, $29.4 million deal. And this is, you knew with the Lightning winning back-to-back Stanley Cups that Barkley Goodrow and Blake Coleman were going to be able to cash in as unrestricted free agents. And to a degree that is, you know, beyond really what their on-ice contributions were. And I really like Blake Coleman a lot, a really good player. And I don't even mind that he's getting a $4.9 million cap hit. I'd be more worried about doing that for 6 years because he's 29 years old, has played a very physical game. And so that doesn't tend to age well. And so I think there's a good chance that the last few years at the very least are going to be a problem. But if, you know, if Blake Coleman could give them four really good years, like the past few that he's given in Tampa Bay, I don't imagine that Calgary will have a problem with it. So, you know what? We will continue this on the next podcast. There were just so many signings. I'm not going to be able to fit them all in. So that will do it for today. Also, check out the Locked On Fantasy Baseball podcast. We've got a trade deadline coming up there, too. So lots of action in that sport as well. So find these podcasts and subscribe on Apple, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, Odyssey, or wherever you get your podcasts. Stay locked in with Locked On Fantasy Hockey, your daily source for fantasy news and analysis. NBA Draft GOAT Chad Ford, Locked On NBA Draft host Raphael Barlow, and Locked On NBA host John Corrales will be live this year covering the NBA Draft. It's Locked On NBA Draft 2021, brought to you by Built Bar. Get local expert analysis on each pick. Follow Locked On NBA on YouTube today and watch our live coverage on July 29th at 7 p.m. Eastern.
Pay that man his money.